Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz coming to you from our studios here at Lambeau Field. And Wes, the preseason game with the Oakland Raiders is in the books. And I think maybe the most pleasant sight for Packer fans occurred before the game even started, and that was seeing Jordy Nelson, number 87, in full uniform, going through pregame warmups, even though we knew he wasn't going to play. But it was a pretty good sight for Packers fans.
74,089 people attending the game at Lambeau Field, and I think the biggest fireworks for everybody were before the game even started. That was an emotional moment. You know, a lot of the guys talked about in the locker room, too. You had so many guys sort of surprised, maybe a little bit. I don't want to say shocked, but it was a pleasant surprise to see Jordy Nelson run out there, take part in some of the warm-up stuff. As he said afterwards, it's a small step. There's still a long way to go in this recovery and this rehab. But at the same time, I think, one, we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And two, it is meaningful for Packer fans to see it number 87 back out there, and for teammates also to know that it's close.
It had been a long time. I mean, the second preseason game last year in Pittsburgh, first quarter, that was the last time we saw Jordy Nelson with the pads and the helmet on and everything. And we don't know if Nelson is going to play in either of these last two preseason games. Maybe he plays a little bit here and there, maybe he doesn't. Personally, I'm not even sure if it matters. If he's ready to play week one, he'll get enough reps in practice with Aaron Rodgers to be ready to go, whether he's in a preseason game or not. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. And something, too, to keep in mind, I thought it was interesting how both Nelson and Mike McCarthy talked after the game, saying that this was sort of him getting back into a set schedule. And it sounds like over this next week, it's just going to be a lot of individual work for him. I'm guessing we probably won't see him in many team periods, if at all. It's going to be just trying to get down his rhythm, timing, and just get used to being a football player again, because for so long it has been mental reps. Now being able to get out there and do some of the things he's more accustomed to doing.
Yeah, for sure. And then as the game got started, I think the biggest thing for the Packers in terms of how things looked on film was the running of Eddie Lacy.
Right.
His first carry, 20 yards, showed nice burst into the secondary, ran over a guy there, and then went on 9 carries for 45 yards, including the 1-yard touchdown run on a 14-play drive engineered by Brett Hundley to begin the game. And I know we talked a lot about Eddie Lacy in the offseason. It's a big year for him, all the stuff about his conditioning and his weight. Through his action through these first two preseason games, it's hard to argue with where he is.
Absolutely, and I love that first series. In addition to needing almost 8 minutes off the clock,
yeah.
You look at that first run for 20 yards. It was just when the Packers are clicking, when the offense is doing what it wants to do, that's exactly how you draw it up. Perfect seal block by Josh Sitton and J.C. Treader opening up that lane for Lacy, and for him just to get through there again with the explosion that I thought he showed on that play. 13 carries for 69 yards and a touchdown now in the preseason. As we talked about, I think, on our last show, I don't know what his plan is going to be these last two games.
Right.
But to get the amount of work he's gotten so far and be as productive as he's been, definitely a positive sign for him now. And that whole rushing offense as a whole going in now into the regular season.
Yeah, Aaron Ripkowski with a couple of nice lead blocks as the fullback going through the hole. And again, the starting offensive line out there, minus Corey Linsley, who is still not off PUP dealing with the hamstring injury. But it certainly looks like that unit will be no worse for wear with J.C. Treader, which we kind of expected the way Treader filled in at center a few times for Linsley last season. J.C. really doing the job in the middle.
I remember talking to Mike McCarthy, asking him at the NFL owners meetings back in March about how he views J.C. Treader. Is he in competition for that job? And what he said is, I mean, he's a starter in their mind. And we've heard that in the past at times with guys that maybe aren't prototypical starting five guys.
Right.
But they have all the confidence in the world of J.C. Treader. He's shown he can play that position extremely well. I thought he's made a nice transition to the center spot after playing left tackle and tight end back at Cornell. So, again, we'll see how everything shuffles out. But I think when you look at both him and Corey Linsley, there were so many years where the Packers didn't have a set center. It was sort of this revolving door every year, and now they got two guys that I think can start this league.
Yeah, it's interesting. They've gone from where you always worried if the center went down, yeah, who was going to fill in, or it would create this big shuffle across the offensive line of this guy move over here and this guy over there. And right now you've got Linsley and Treader, and either one of them can play and the line seems to be in sync. The quarterbacks seem to be in sync. All of the calls, protections, all that. It doesn't seem to matter who's in there, and that's a credit to both guys, both Lindsley at the start of his career and Treader being that guy who can come off the bench and fill in.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. And two, with you look at this offensive line, you know, Aaron Rodgers obviously wasn't out there last night. It was Brett Hundley running the show. But at the same time, was really impressed with how that starting unit and Eddie Lacy, James Starks got back on the same page. Mike McCarthy has kind of laid down the gauntlet right now. He's talking about how they need to be able to run the ball better. They want to run the ball better.
Absolutely.
And for them to get that timing down with the offensive line and Lacy, that's going to be as critical as anything you could take away out of that game.
Yeah, the first two games with the number one offensive line in there, it's been a message of run the football, get this thing squared away. So that's been good results for the Packers so far. Well, we've got more of the younger guys on offense to talk about on Packers Unscripted. Back with more after the break. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, we go back to the start of that Raiders game. Brett Hundley started at quarterback after missing the first portion of the preseason with the ankle injury. Engineered a terrific opening drive there, like we talked about, focused on the running game. Threw a beautiful back shoulder throw to Davante Adams along the sideline for a 31-yard gain. But then at the end of that play, took a low hit and re-injured that ankle. And unfortunately, now it doesn't sound like the injury is as bad as the original ankle injury, but still, this is another setback for a guy who this month was supposed to be his showcase and really important to his development as the number two quarterback. And it's another step backwards, you might say, through no fault of his own.
Yeah, well, two things, Michael. The first one, just looking at Brett Hundley in general, what astonishes me the most is how crisp he was in his first practice back after being off for, you know, a couple weeks.
I agree.
And then also this first game back. For a young man coming in and playing the way he did, throwing and being as accurate as he was, extremely impressive. And as you said, that was a picture-perfect throw to Davante Adams. Adams also made a really nice adjustment coming back to that ball, yeah, to get the completion.
Almost got interfered with there, too. Looked, yeah, like he got grabbed, and he still maintained his balance and made a nice play on
that
ball.
Get that separation.
Yeah.
But then Hundley does come out of the game. So the second thing to that is, it is unfortunate because, as we've talked about before now on this show, this is his shot. You know, this is where he's going to get his most work in because, again, if everything goes according to plan, he's not going to be needed from September till February.
Right.
So this is where he needs to make his improvements. Now, you can do some of that in practice. Obviously, he enjoys running the scout team during the season. But this is his shot to again, show what he can do and do it at a high level. So you hope that the ankle's okay. You hope that it's not too bad of an aggravation. But at the same time, you also hope he can get back out there.
Yeah, and we'll just have to see. Hard to say whether he can recover quickly enough to be able to play against San Francisco in the third preseason game. Certainly, you hope that his preseason is not over, that at least he would be able to play in the game in Kansas City to wrap up the preseason, which, right, is a game that we've traditionally not seen Aaron Rodgers at all. And so given Hundley's limited snaps in the preseason, the Kansas City game maybe is a game that he's going to get a lot of work if his ankle is healthy and if it holds up.
Yeah, absolutely. And to his credit, too, you know, Aaron Rodgers even alluded to it, too, this past week. You know, he was still kind of pushing through it. I'm guessing that it still wasn't 100%, that he just wanted to get back on the field, and, you know, they felt confident enough in the progress he had made. And unfortunately, the hit like that does happen, so that there is the re-injuring of it. But at the same time, you take away the positives from the experience. I thought Hundley, again, looked extremely poised. It has complete command of that offense. Seems like everybody, even the first team offense, has confidence in his abilities. And it's been a really promising start for him in these first year and a half now with the Packers.
Yeah, I agree. Another young guy to take a look at quickly, second round draft pick rookie Jason Spriggs, had been off to a really strong start in training camp and the preseason opener against the Browns. Went up against Khalil Mack, the pass rusher for the Oakland Raiders. And Mack taught him some lessons. There's no question about it. But frankly, Khalil Mack is one of the top three or four defensive players in the entire league. And if Khalil Mack can't do that, to a rookie making his, you know, second appearance on an NFL field in a game, then Khalil Mack isn't what everybody thinks that he is. So nothing against Spriggs, but I'm not surprised that it went that way. And I think Spriggs is going to be better for it because this a preseason setting and getting exposure against a guy like that and getting exposed maybe some of the flaws in your own game as a young player in a game like that is absolutely perfect. It's absolutely what a guy like Jason Spriggs needs to develop his game.
Yeah, and that performance, too, from Mac's perspective, gives you appreciation for David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga.
No question about it.
That was a big task for them last year, and Bakhtiari obviously ended up getting injured in that game, but for them to play the way they did against those pass rushers from Oakland, Reggie McKenzie's building a monster there. And Mac is, as you said, he's one of the top guys in this league already for being as young as he is. From Spriggs' perspective, I think this is really positive because he's seen Julius Peppers in practice. He's seen Clay Matthews occasionally, I think, in practice.
Yep.
Now you get Khalil Mack. Those are some heavy hitters. When you look at this league in general, you can probably get your Von Millers in there and a couple other guys, but for the most part, those are some of the best pass rushers you're going to see in the NFL. So for him to get that experience now is great. Sure, there's a lot of stuff he'd like to have back from that. But as we talked about a little bit earlier, that I've been most impressed with him, he has such great recovery. When he does get knocked off his original spot, how he's able to get back and save the play has always really impressed me. Now it's about building up the strength. I'm sure that's something he'll be doing this year to hold up to those bull rushes and those tactics right off the bat. But in terms of his pause, I mean, he's a lot of potential there. Those are some big paws.
There's no question. Khalil Mack, his speed coming off the edge as a rusher, his ability to change speeds, you know, stutter step and this and that.
That was the stutter step was, I mean, that's...
Yeah, there are not a lot of guys in the NFL that can do that, and he's fooled plenty of veteran offensive tackles with moves like that and the sacks that he's racked up over his career.
Buffalo. How did he end up at Buffalo? No disrespect to Buffalo, but my goodness.
Yeah.
That's – no one found him?
Yeah. Like, no kidding.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Great player, though. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, unbelievable player. Well, we'll shift gears to the Packers defensive side of the ball when we come back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, if we flip to the defensive side of the ball against the Raiders, the thing that stood out to me the most was the run defense. Now, they started out strong against Cleveland in the first game, but this Raiders offense is a little more formidable
right.
than Cleveland's and a little more polished. And I really thought the front seven against the run, and particularly, the pursuit of the inside linebackers, whether you're talking Blake Martinez or Sam Barrington or Joe Thomas when he was in there as well, I thought the pursuit of the inside linebackers really took the run defense to another level in terms of where we are in this developmental stage of the preseason.
Yeah, I concur, Michael. One of the things that impressed me the most about this game is you don't have Mike Pinnell playing until the second half right now as the Packers prepare to not have him for the first four games. Clay Matthews is not playing in these games, and he was a guy that was a huge help in the run defense last season in the middle, in back, you know, inside backer position.
Right.
So you have a bunch of young guys there playing against basically the starting offense of the Oakland Raiders, who a lot of people are extremely high on going into this season. You talk about the productivity of the inside linebackers. I thought Blake Martinez had a really nice game. It was in a lot of different places, working the communication helmet, making sure everything is lined up. Defensive line, man, and I know I'm stating the obvious now, but Mike Daniels is a complete football player.
Wow.
Questions about whatever there was, you know, if he was a three-down player, how he could defend against the run, how he's able to shed. I've been so impressed with him this preseason with what he's done in the run defense perspective, and also LaTroy Guyon moving back to what is probably his most natural position at nose tackle.
Yeah, and when you talk about Daniels, it's not even just shedding, but sometimes even making tackles while he's being blocked.
Right.
He seems to find a way to get in there and disrupt the play and get a hand on the running back and get him on the ground. I agree with you. I've been really impressed with Daniels in the middle there. If we take a look deeper into the secondary, the big standout play, Demarius Randall with a tremendous interception on a deep ball to Amari Cooper. And interesting, Randall isn't going to play it up as a big revenge thing, but you know that game in December out right. in Oakland last year was on his mind when two rookie first-round draft picks, Cooper against Randall, were matched up for the most part most of the game. And Cooper had a big day, 100-plus yards and a couple of touchdowns. And, you know, it wasn't Demaryius Randall's best day, even though he had an interception return for a touchdown early in that game. That interception last night, tracking the ball over his head, leaping and making that catch, falling on his backside, that's a big-time play by a defensive back.
Absolutely, and it kind of reminds you of that safety background that he has and ability to play center field at times.
Sure.
For him to track it and then come down with it high-pointed against the player that is of the caliber of Amari Cooper impressed me. And also from the perspective of, I asked him about this a little bit in the locker room afterwards. Yeah, you had the game last year in Oakland, but the thing that Randall was more concentrated on is the fact that he hasn't had an interception in an 11-on-11 period yet this offseason. cushioned with that, when you're playing against Aaron Rodgers, you don't have a whole lot of chances for interceptions.
Right.
But that was when he wanted to get one on the board, and he certainly did it in a big way. And, you know, talk about, you know, Josh Hawkins, too, later in the game.
Yeah.
Undrafted nice rookie play. Coming and making a nice play, had a nice return. The Packers' defense in general, I thought, considering some of the things that they've had in terms of moving guys around and, you know, Morgan Burnett not being out there right now, they played exceptionally well. And Demaryius Randall is going to be a bright star in this league. I think you can see it, and he needs to work on some of the little things, but the athletic ability, and him and Quentin Rollins, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, for sure. And you look at the Raiders, they had starting quarterback Derek Carr in there for the entire first half, and the first half numbers, 3 points, 4 first downs, I believe it was 73 total yards in the first half with Carr at quarterback. You look at the headlines on the Oakland side of things from their media coverage, lackluster on offense, offense struggles in Green Bay. Their first team offense, there was more expected there, and I give credit to the Packers defense for doing what they did, other than, you know, Randall got beat over the top for that 20-yard pass to Cooper on third down, and then the unfortunate personal foul, very ill-advised personal foul on Dayton Jones that really kind of gave the Raiders their only points. Otherwise, the Packers probably shut out that first-team offense through two quarters.
I agree. Derek Carr in that game, 9 of 13, 38 yards, 1 interception, 40.2 quarterback rating. For the game, Raiders passers, 45.4. Dom sure probably wasn't going into this game being like, okay, we need to win the passer rating battle here right. like he does in the regular season.
Right.
But to hold them to that number, I think bodes well for this defense.
Yeah, definitely a step in the right direction for the defense, as Mike McCarthy said after the game. So after the break, we'll come back and talk about some other young players maybe who are getting on the radar, making a bid for a roster spot here. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. Wes, final segment here. The preseason is half over, two games down, two to go. It's time to start taking a look at who is on the radar making a bid for a roster spot that maybe at the start of training camp we weren't talking about or weren't thinking about too much. If I were to say one guy that jumps out at me, and you wrote about him on the website earlier this week, inside linebacker Carl Bradford, a fourth-round pick from a couple years ago who's made a transition from outside to inside linebacker. He looks like a completely different player than the one we've seen in his first two training camps.
So confident, playing so much more sudden this year. And I think for the first time we're actually seeing Carl Bradford on the football field. I thought one of the most telling things when I did that story on him was him saying those first 2 years, he was brutally honest. He said, you know, I didn't know basically what I was doing defensively.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily that he wasn't trying to learn it or wasn't trying to pick up the playbook, but he starts out as an outside linebacker, really doesn't fit there. They convert him to inside linebacker his first camp.
And then right he plays at the end of camp.
At the end
too.
Of camp,
yeah.
The preseason finale against the Chiefs.
Right.
And then the next year he's learning the position. He didn't really feel like he belonged, really. And he made some big changes, cut about 10 pounds this offseason, is playing at 243. And how much he's been around the football, and he said it too, he feels like he's at Arizona State again, where he could just act. He can play with his hair on fire, which is the big comment that a lot of, you know, GMs and scouts talked about with him coming out.
Right.
Just looks so much more confident out there.
Yeah, I agree. And a couple other young guys, as we've talked about, there is always an undrafted rookie or two or three that end up making this roster in some way, shape, or form. And one guy who's jumped out at me, another guy on the defensive side, is safety Kentrell Bryce. Anytime I see this guy in the open field, it looks like he's just flying. The guy's got speed. The athletic ability just jumps off the field at you. I'm curious what you think of Bryce.
Do you know what his 40 time was?
I don't, but it had to be pretty good. Either that or he went undrafted because he had a bad day on the track or something.
It's incredible. I mean, I've just been so impressed by him and his speed, really. It's kind of cliche, but that's where he's really jumped out to me so far, is his ability to close on receivers. Very, very talented player. That's a really stacked position for the Packers. Yep. You have two Pro Bowl caliber safeties, and then you have Micah Hyde, who I think could start in this league at safety. And Chris Banjo's played well, too. So I don't know how that's all going to shuffle out, but for Kentrell Bryce to come in, and with the limited reps that he's had, seems like he's really made an impact so far.
Yeah, I agree. I think if he can show something on special teams, he's going to increase his chances for a roster spot. And another thing on special teams, I have to throw this in here before we sign off for the day. My favorite special teams play of the preseason so far, Trevor Davis on punt return.
Yeah.
There was that low short punt last night, Thursday night against the Raiders. And we've seen so many times how punt returners, they shy away from it. They're not sure. They end up letting it bounce. He ran up there and caught that thing and ran it back 21 yards. That's a field position difference of 30 to 35 yards when you
right.
factor in the bounce and the roll if that punt hits the ground. Those kinds of plays, I think, are really, really important for the Packers.
The punt returns can be a difference this year. You could tell with
yeah.
all those guys, it's going to be a difference.
All right. Well, with that, we'll sign off on Packers Unscripted. Be sure to catch all the coverage of the team on Packers.com, at Wes Hodd on Twitter, at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account. Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you next time.